This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. When someone hurts us, our first reaction is usually to reciprocate with harm. However, God has a better idea, and He'll reveal it to us this week through the words of James. Please stay with us and learn about that advice in our Pressure Points message entitled Retaliation.
It's been said that revenge is sweet. What do you think? James has something to say to us about that today. So stay with us. We begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, we praise you for rescuing us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Someday we know that Christ will appear again in all his glory, and everyone will see that he is Lord. Until that time comes, we continue to pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. The final message for our Pressure Points series that we've been doing is taken from James chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Come now, you rich people, weep and wail for the miseries that are coming to you. Your riches have rotted, and your clothes are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have rusted, and their rust will be evidence against you, and it will eat your flesh like fire. You've laid up treasure for the last days. Listen! The wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and in pleasure. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous one who does not resist you. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Indeed, we call blessed those who showed endurance. You have heard of the endurance of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Dear friends, some time ago, David Hagler, who works as an umpire in a recreational baseball league, was pulled over for driving too fast in the snow in Boulder, Colorado. He tried to talk the officer out of giving him a ticket by telling him how worried he was about his insurance rates and how he normally was a very safe driver. The officer said that if he didn't like receiving the ticket, he could take the matter to court. Off he went. At the first game of the next baseball season, Dave Hagler is umpiring behind the plate, and the first batter is, can you believe this? The policeman. As the officer is about to step into the batter's box, they recognize each other. There's this long pause, and the officer asks, so how did the ticket thing go? Hagler says, you'd better swing at everything. Sweet revenge. Isn't that sometimes what we say, revenge is sweet? Or is it? Most of us, I know, are reactors. When someone has wronged us, we wind up retaliating in like manner. The temptation is to get even. Little children's poem says, tit for tat, sugar for fat, you kill my dog, I kill your cat. Some people have the philosophy, I don't get mad, I get even. Sometimes we get even with our words, such as Winston Churchill, who was known to be pretty sharp-tongued. He had a little feud going with Lady Astor, who one time said to him in frustration, Winston Churchill, if you were my husband, I'd poison your dinner. And Churchill said, Lady Astor, if you were my wife, I'd eat it. The pressure of retaliating is natural inside of each one of us. And we're encouraged oftentimes from the outside as well. 80% of movies probably are about retaliation or novels. And some of us might have even been raised to hit back. We all have it at work on us. And it's easy to get caught up in it. I remember when my son Samuel was in elementary school, there was a kid that constantly was picking on him at the bus stop. And I was getting angrier and angrier about it when I'd get these reports. Finally, one day at the dinner table, I said to Sam, "Pop him one." Of course, my son looked at me like he couldn't believe what his pastor father was saying to him. And my wife took me aside later and gave me lessons on how to coach my son in making decisions in life. I deserved it. The pressure to retaliate is in us all. But, you know, we need to be asking ourselves, does retaliation solve anything? What do you think about that question? It seems that when we do not practice self-restraint, things just escalate and the vicious cycle keeps going. If I'm hanging on to those grudges and bitterness and wanting to get even with people, I sometimes just find myself getting poisoned within, turning into a bitter person. Well, in the book of James, in the last chapter, James writes about this kind of thing when he addresses some people that were being picked on. And they were being picked on by the haves, those who controlled everything, the wealthy. In our passage that I read earlier, he first takes on the pickers, the oppressors, by playing almost like an Old Testament prophet sort of role as he pronounces the future judgment on their lives. "Weep and wail, for the misery's coming to you," he says. This sounds like a very unpromising future he's promising these folks when they have to stand before God. He goes on and tells them, "Those riches you live for have rotted. They're temporary. You've been taking advantage of others who will be you're undoing with God. You've committed fraud. You've hoarded selfishly for yourselves." He goes on to say, "You've condemned and murdered the righteous one who does not resist you." Basically, what he's talking about is he's addressing some rich landlords who obviously were taking advantage of the workers, many of whom were in these little rural congregations. They were not paying daily wages, which was something that in the book of Deuteronomy was something that was considered a travesty of justice. To not pay somebody at the end of a day meant that that family they go home to probably wouldn't eat that night. So these innocent laborers were being mistreated. And perhaps James is comparing it to murder because he's thinking of some old Jewish writings. A proverb, so to speak, says, "To take away a neighbor's living is to commit murder. To deprive an employee of wages is to shed blood." And he's saying to those folks, you will face God's judgment someday, and it is not going to be pretty. Of course, the members of these little congregations had to have heard this message as a message of hopefulness, that the day is coming when God will make things right. And you can almost hear them think aloud, "Preach it, preacher. Tell him, Jim. Judgment's coming. God is going to make things all right in the end. Let him have it." But then James turns to those who are being mistreated, the people in those little congregations, the picked on. He knows the temptation to get even, to retaliate in some way, to get bitter, to get their pound of flesh and get revenge. So he turns to them and he says, basically, "Now you who are being oppressed, here's what God wants you to do in the meantime. Number one," he says, "be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord." Be patient, he says. To be patient is to be long-suffering. Someone described it as to be patient is to take a long time for your thermometer to boil over. To be patient is to develop a long fuse. For those of you who are car fans, someone once wrote, "Patience is letting your motor idle when you feel like stripping the gears." James says, when you're taking it in the chin, be patient. He says, Be like a farmer. Like the farmer who plants his crops and then waits patiently for the crop to grow and patiently waits for the rains to fall. He's basically saying as God has shown patience with us, we are to be patient with others. He says, the Lord is coming again and he will make things right. I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul in Romans saying, you know, don't return evil for evil. Don't retaliate. Remember, you know, live by this. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You be patient, he says, and strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. He repeats it again. Be of good courage. How does one strengthen their heart? I remember the story of David out in the wilderness when he came back and from battle with his little army, and most of what they had had been stolen, including their wives, and everybody was upset. And David says, David strengthened himself in the Lord. You know, he turned to the Lord in prayer and sought direction. As we turn to the Lord in prayer, as we turn to the Lord in his holy word, the Holy Spirit has his way with us, and we begin to experience the fruit of the Spirit, which includes love and patience. And he says, watch your mouth. Don't be grumbling against each other. Isn't it funny when we've been hurt by outside sources, we can say some pretty mean things to those closest to us. We just take it out on them because it's like we know they will take it from us. He seems to be saying, you need to come together and stick together. Don't turn on each other during times like this. And then he says, and by the way, look to the heroes of old to be your mentors. He talks about the prophets. He says, let the prophets be an inspiration to you. Look at their suffering and patience as they served God in this world. As you go through these hardships, you're in very good company. Mistreatment of God's people is nothing new. Remember Elijah and Jeremiah and Hosea and Micah and Isaiah and the rest. Yes, they took it in the chin, but God took care of them as they went through this. And see how they ran the good race. They didn't quit. They kept serving God's purposes. And then he goes on to say, another hero, remember, is Job. Look at the endurance of Job. We sometimes talk about the patience of Job, and I'm not sure if that's accurate description. Job doesn't really come off as patient when you read the book of Job in the Old Testament. He's constantly wrestling with God, asking questions about why are these things happening to him. But what's interesting to note is that Job kept believing in God. He would not renounce God. He kept running the race. And in the end, God put it all back together for him. And finally, James says, and you should remember this, you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. He points him to God and he says, God has shown you at the cross and at the resurrection of Jesus, in the gospel message, his plan, his purpose of saving you and saving the world. He is not some unfeeling, distant, cosmic entity. You just look at that cross. This God cares about you, and he knows what's going on, and he has not forgotten you, and he will not turn away from you. He is a God of compassion and mercy. So that's his coaching to those folks that are taking it in the chin, who are being picked on. In essence, James is teaching them an alternative to retaliation, isn't he? An alternative to hitting back, getting even. He points them in the direction of patience and endurance and says, there's your alternative. You see, I don't think we remind ourselves of this enough, my dear brothers and sisters. But when you follow Jesus Christ, you are called to be different than the world around you. The world says retaliate. Jesus says otherwise. And we are reminded of that today in James's words to these little congregations. Let me ask you a personal question, therefore. Has there been someone who's acting like an enemy towards you, taking advantage of you? Is there someone that's hurt you along the way that you're really nursing a grudge against? It's easy to hit back and retaliate, to hold a grudge. But there's an alternative to that, James says. When you're taking it on the chin, you choose to be different as a follower of Jesus. It's not easy. It's not the easy way. But it's the Jesus way. How about instead of hitting back, giving up your right to get even? Actually, forgiving that individual as you have been forgiven by Christ. Didn't Jesus teach us that? I came across a story in a book called God's Outrageous Claims, which tells a story of Terry Anderson, who was an Associated Press reporter back in the 1980s. He was held hostage in Lebanon for nearly 7 years. He was chained to a wall in a filthy and spider-infested cell. He suffered through sickness. He endured mental torture. He longed for his family. He was ground down by a dull ache of incessant boredom. And through it all, though, he was given one book, the Bible. And as he devoured it in search for words of hope, he came across what appeared to him to be outrageous words of hopeless naivete. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Can you imagine how outlandish that command must have seemed to Anderson after spending 2,455 mind-numbing days in cruel captivity? Love whom? Pray for whom? Show kindness toward those who brutalized me? Exercise compassion toward those who callously extended none to me? Well, finally, Anderson was released on December 4th, 1991. Journalists clustered around and peppered him with questions. They wanted to know what his ordeal had been like, and they wanted to know his plans for the future. But then one reporter called out the question that stopped Anderson in his tracks. Can you forgive your captors? What an easy question to pose in the abstract, but what a profound issue to ponder honestly amid the grim reality of harsh injustice. Anderson paused. Before the words of his response could come out of his mouth, the Lord's Prayer coursed through his mind. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Then this victim of undeserved suffering spoke. Yes, he replied, as a Christian, I'm required to forgive, no matter how hard it may be. We forgive. How about repaying unkindness with kindness? How about praying for your enemies, as Jesus said? Now, I know what you might be thinking, like sometimes like I think, I'll pray for them, all right. I'll pray for the Lord to wipe them out. So maybe you need to begin your prayer asking God to help you to love them as Christ loves them, and then to begin to pray for their welfare, for their blessing. I've discovered over the years it's hard to stay mad at someone who I'm praying for. And remember, you follow the one who did not retaliate. He took the punches of people without striking back. He told Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane, put away your sword. Don't you think I could call an army of angels to save me from this? He went to the cross, and as they hurled insults at him, he responded, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He did not retaliate, this one who said, follow me. His epitaph could well read, the hurt stops here. You can do this. Be patient and endure under fire. Because, you know, you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And the Apostle Paul tells us God didn't give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. You are not on your own. You are spirit-powered, dear friend. And it's not a matter of, can I not hit back? It's a matter of, will I not hit back? It's a choice you make ahead of time. I want to follow Jesus. Realize, though, that this is not an overnight sensation. It's a matter of training versus trying. I have a friend who just completed a marathon. He couldn't have just gone down to the race and signed up and run it. He had to spend a long time training for it. And he ran a great race. Jesus, when he calls us as disciples, is calling us into training, getting ourselves ready for those moments under fire when we're taking it on the chin. I don't know about you, but I find this kind of response that James writes about today challenging. But if Jesus is Lord and Savior of my life, then I need to take him at his word and walk in his footsteps, knowing that this is God's way. Let us not talk about love on Sunday and then hit back on Monday. Leave the vengeance to God. You just keep letting your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to join me in prayer. Merciful God, you know how prone we are to hit back when someone has wronged us. Forgive us, Lord, for past retaliations that we've made. And empower us by your Holy Spirit to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, our Prince of Peace. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message will help you get your light shining for Jesus even during the most difficult times. Christian Crusaders has a rich history of broadcasting the gospel message over the airwaves every Sunday since 1936. This has only been possible through the blessings of the Holy Spirit and the financial and prayerful support of our listening family. As the year comes to a close, we remind you that each gift to Christian Crusaders is tax deductible. We are grateful for your prayers as well as your financial support. Today's message is also available to be read or heard on the internet. Our website also has many other spiritual helps, including a daily devotion, Bible study helps, and a preview of the coming program. Please visit our website online at christiancrusaders.org. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing costs is always appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. We are happy you chose to worship with us today, and we pray that you'll join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting our service was the Reverend Steve Kramer, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 79th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.